A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, January 10th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You know how to jump aboard. We have a question for today's show, a show where we will discuss the murder that took place in college football last night. I think a lot of us expected Georgia to decimate TCU the way that they did, but how can you not love Kirby Smart? Man, that guy has everything that you want in a head coach. Is it possible that Cal McNair could write a blank check for Kirby Smart to get him to, as Sean Mapes, you said last night, to take a step down, leaving Georgia for our beloved Houston Texans? It was you who said the Texans, an NFL job, would be a step down from Georgia. I'm just saying.
How many games, like, backwards do you have to get before the Texans scored 65 points?
I don't think they've ever scored 65 points.
I'm saying combined.
Oh, well, that...
They scored, like, three
against Jacksonville. Now you're running up the score. So. What are you, Kirby Smart, running up the score on TCU? There are a lot of fun moments in that game. We will talk about that game in a little bit more detail. I really want to focus on Kirby Smart, though. I'm in love. I'm in love. He is my new coaching infatuation. And look, we're all a little bit desperate right now looking for a head coach. Yesterday, your boy decided to be a Big J journalist and put his boots on the ground, you know, a little like this. If you're watching on twitch.tv/ESPN975, your boy put his boots on the table. He wore the boots, cowboy boots, to ask some questions of Nick Caserio and Texans owner Cal McNair last night. He brings the sex appeal to the Twitch show for whatever you guys need. But listen, I was out there yesterday, and man, it was a very interesting press conference. So I don't want to get too into the weeds with how press conferences typically work. All I will say is the Texans held this in their auditorium. I was fully expecting for there to be a table with two microphones, one for Texans owner Cal McNair and one for Texans general manager Nick Caserio. I got in there and I saw there is a podium with only one place to stand. And right there, I figured to myself, we ain't going to hear much from Cal McNair. A couple of minutes go by. Hannah McNair, wife of Cal McNair, comes in. She's very excited for this press conference. Then all of a sudden, Cal McNair and Nick Caserio enter from the back. Cal McNair was the first to the podium, and he began the press conference with something I want you to keep in mind, even if you're not a Cal McNair guy.
We've dealt with unprecedented circumstances over the last several years, but we're excited about our future and where we're headed. We're constantly evaluating where we are as an organization, looking for ways to improve, and reaching out to our fan base, whether that's exploring uniform changes or making head coach changes. We're always looking to up our game in every area and take our organization to the next level. Now we're committed to getting this one right.
I want to pause for a moment and just focus on what Cal McNair said there. I found it very interesting that he brought up uniform changes before he brought up coaching changes. This is a man who now realizes where the Texans are. And as we look at the totality of last night's press conference, I think you'll realize he is trying to do things to make you happy. It's probably too little too late. I just want us to acknowledge that he is at least aware enough of where this team currently stands. Cal has about a 2-minute opening statement. And here's what's really funny. After he's done, he goes and he sits down in the auditorium with all the other reporters who would ask increasingly hostile questions as the 30-minute press conference went on. He was sitting directly in front of me with his wife, Hannah, as this press conference began. As far as the press conference, if you watch the whole thing, you'd probably notice that Nick Caserio was talking about things being more inclusive and more collaborative going forward. He's the general manager, and I think we've all been under the assumption that he runs the entire football operations, especially now that Jack Easterby is out. And you got to wonder, okay, how much of a say did Lovie Smith have even? How much do any of the coaches have on this staff? I think it might be changing going forward. Here's Caserio sounding rather reflective with one of his earlier statements in this 30-minute press conference.
The only way to get better and improve is to look at all facets of your process and operation. And we're doing that not only on a football operation standpoint, we're going to do it on a coaching process standpoint. We've already talked about implementing some different, I would say, techniques and tactics that we feel can help us. And relying on, I would say, more members and people in the organization, making a more inclusive process and not just make it about one individual or one person. So we're trying to be proactive. We're trying to make decisions that we feel make the most sense. And we're trying to, I would say, make adjustments and modifications, because the only way you can improve your situation is to acknowledge where there may be some deficiencies, but also to recognize where there may be some strengths and where there may be some areas that we can improve our process. So that's what we're committed to doing. That's where our commitment is to the people that are here in this building. That's our commitment to the city of Houston.
We might need a Caserio translator, because it's so difficult to focus on what he is saying. Because when he starts, he just keeps going. And there's so many words to dissect. And generally, I think we all get a tad hypnotized and maybe drift off. I know my ADD ass does. Some of those answers were like 2 minutes, and you listen for buzzwords. But he mentioned inclusive. He mentioned collaborative. And I think he realizes that he has come across as a control freak. And Sean, if we could throw to cut four, you heard cut three where he mentions a couple of things, and you realize, okay, he wants this to be more of an inclusive and collaborative process going forward. When he said this, I knew what was happening at this press conference.
Including maybe more voices, more people, utilizing the resources that we have in the building, utilizing our resources throughout the league, using some of the data and information that, you know, might be more available. And I would just say, candidly, me allowing other people to be a part of that process, because we trust the people that are in the building. I think that's my responsibility to everybody that's here.
He hasn't done that. Big takeaway from the press conference, Nick Caserio has been too much of a control freak, and more people are now rolling up their sleeves and getting involved, including Cal McNair when it comes to the head coaching search. But sounds like the coaches who are still on staff, we'll see how long that lasts, are going to be a part of this process potentially. Interesting that Pep Hamilton is still technically the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. That also means the players, from the sound of things, at Caserio's press conference yesterday. So what does all of this mean? Yesterday, Cal McNair put Nick Caserio into a pot like he is a lobster and just boiled it for 30 minutes. And if you noticed some of the body language of Caserio, I thought, he wasn't necessarily fidgety, but it felt like he knew his job was on the line. And I'm not going to go so far to say he was scared up there, but it was a little bit more tense as far as where he's been. I think to this point, he has been walking around the offices of NRG Stadium, maybe not with extreme confidence, but I think being largely unquestioned, and that time is over. And that brings me to the question of today's show. Are you in or are you out on Texans general manager Nick Caserio? For either answer, you got to tell me why. You can answer that at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on Twitter as well, at Gallant Says. Coming up next, you get to answer that. And I will also share my favorite moment of yesterday's press conference, which included an exchange with me, Nick Caserio, and Hannah McNair. I'll explain next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I have full confidence in Nick. He has led our football operation through a difficult stretch and continues to prove he's an elite talent evaluator. We talk constantly and have a plan for this process that we will execute together over the next days and weeks. For this hire, I'll be taking on a more active role in the process.
That last part might have some of y'all shuddering. Texans owner Cal McNair at his press conference with Nick Caserio last night, which, again, I'll say was Cal McNair trying to make Nick Caserio uncomfortable in about as polite a way as one possibly could. The questions at that press conference got more and more and more pointed. I will admit, though, and I think a lot of other members of the Houston media felt the same way as me, I think we all thought that we'd actually get to ask Cal McNair questions. Especially because at the end of his opening statement, Cal said, "I will be here." Was this by design from the actual Texans PR staff? Was this just a hiccup in terms of where they were holding the actual press conference? Honestly, I can't say. All I know is that it seemed like Cal McNair, going into the press conference, might actually be available to answer questions. Unfortunately, instead of being in front of a microphone, he and his wife Hannah were sitting directly in front of me. So here's how it works at one of these press conferences when it's this public. You got to wait until someone passes you a microphone. You know, like that guy in the Cleveland Browns who did not pass me a microphone to ask any questions of Deshaun Watson. I'm not still mad about that. Anyway, once I finally had a microphone passed my way, I decided to ask Nick Caserio and by proxy Cal McNair, because he was sitting right in front of me, hey, who is going to have the absolute final say? You had heard coming into this segment, Cal McNair said, "I'm going to take more of a hands-on role." Okay, is this perhaps a sign that Nick Caserio isn't going to just pick the guy? That there needs to be approval from not just Cal McNair, but maybe some other members of the Texans organization? Here is my question to the Texans general manager.
About a year ago, when you were talking about hiring Lovie Smith, you mentioned that was your decision. And over the course of this press conference, you mentioned several times collaboration. I'm guessing that's something that's you're looking to make part of a future endeavor. When it comes to who decides the next head coach, though, is that a decision that comes down to you? And I know Cal's sitting right in front of you. If you want to steal the microphone, if you can.
Yeah, look, in the end, it's going to be my recommendation to ownership, and then ownership, our dialogue with each other, and then ultimately Cal and Hannah own the team, so, you know, I'm going to be respectful of their wishes. I think we're going to be respectful of each other's perspective and wishes, and ultimately we're going to do what we feel is in the best interest of the Houston Texans organization. So, in the end, I think the owner has a trump card, so, you know, for me to think otherwise, I mean, it's probably rude of me, so, but that's just the reality of it.
If you noticed, there was a voice that said, "I can answer that," before Nick gave his answer. That was Hannah McNair. Hannah turned around and with a cheeky grin said, "I can answer that question." Nick answers the question, politely says, "Well, they have the final say." And once he's done, Hannah continues and says, "That's what I was going to tell you." made me laugh. I think a lot of people wanted to hear from Cal yesterday. I do think, in a way, that was a missed opportunity for him. But I also think that, all in all, for Cal McNair, that press conference was successful. I think he wants to show people that Nick Caserio has pressure on him, especially for next season. And that lends us to the question of today's show. And again, you can answer that at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Are you in or out on Texans general manager Nick Caserio? If so, why? Whatever reason you give, give me a reason as to why. I know a lot of the reasons as to why people are saying no have to do with the fact that he is from the Patriots. People are tired of the Patriot way. And I don't blame him. It has not worked outside of New England. And now with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay and with things going the way that they're going in New England for Bill Belichick, it's hard to believe that that 20-year run, which did have a lot of key contributing pieces along the way, is super special compared to the rest of the league, even though they did win 6 Super Bowls, go to 9. Because you're on the outside looking in. There's always going to be a bit of skepticism, especially when the guy who was at the center of all of it goes elsewhere and he wins a Super Bowl in his first year. But what are the other reasons to not be in on Nick Caserio? And here's where I feel like things are perhaps a little bit unfair. What was Nick supposed to do these first two seasons? I know that the Texans believed that they were actually going to be competent this season. Frisky, competitive. What does that mean? 7 wins, 8 wins? I don't know. They thought, though, that they would be a nuisance. Is that because Nick Caserio portrayed things as such? They bring in Jerry Hughes. They still have Brandon Cooks. Larry Tunsil comes back. They believe that Davis Mills is going to build off of what he did at the end of last year with Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator as opposed to Tim Kelly. Did he tell Cal that we're going to be good? Because I just look at the roster going into the year. Okay, I thought they're in the AFC South. Maybe they can win more games than you expect. But you're basing that not off of the roster. You're basing that off of the teams that they're competing with. You're basing everything that they could accomplish on their environment. That environment is a pretty easy one. Look at the AFC South. The Jaguars tried every single way they possibly could to lose the de facto AFC South championship on Saturday night against a team quarterbacked by Josh Bleeping Dobbs. And I mean, the Jaguars almost lost that game. They came very close to losing it. That division stinks. I can understand why Nick Caserio says, yeah, we'll be competitive in the division. But is it Nick Caserio's fault that that's not the case? His first draft class, we're talking about a guy who had no first-round pick. Did he have a second-round pick? Nope. Because of bad trades. He had a bad cap situation because of Bill O'Brien. I don't know what he could have done during the 2021 offseason. Last year, a different story, and there are real questions after 1 year, mind you, 1 year, though, about Derek Stingley and Kenyon Green, the two first-round picks. But Damian Pierce has looked great. Jalen Petrie has looked great. Christian Harris has looked good. And all of a sudden, we're looking at Nick Caserio, and we're saying he might need to go. Now, maybe there's some things happening behind the scenes as far as his actual micromanaging that are getting annoying for some. Maybe Lovie Smith was sick of it. Maybe that's why Lovie Smith is gone. Maybe that was Lovie Smith's final act of rebellion. I hate this micromanaging guy who, in that one picture that you might have seen online, looks like he might be a serial killer. I am going to make sure that I go out making the Texans the second worst team in the NFL, not the first worst team in the NFL. I could see how that was a problem. But as far as the actual roster construction, what are you pointing at and saying this is a massive problem? Nick Caserio bleeped this up. I think any opposition to Nick Caserio is about Patriots fatigue. And I don't blame you if you have it. I'm just saying, I think you need more than that. But this is how Cal McNair feels, clearly, if he was going to make that press conference happen the way that it did. 713-780-3776. We have Eric calling in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Eric, what's up?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Doing well.
All right, so I personally, I don't have any faith in Nick, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the whole Patriots-style thing. Like, I'm not big on that. But my whole thing is the draft pick. I'm afraid that, you know, we have a guy that we can't trust to utilize our draft picks. Like, you talk about Jalen Petrie and Harris and,
Damian Pierce.
Messi, when he eventually comes. But, like, he missed out on Sauce Gardner. Kenyon Green doesn't seem to be the right pick, and I just do not want him to screw this up. Whether we take a quarterback or a defensive lineman or whatever, I just don't have faith that he's going to make the right pick. And that's all I have to say. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Eric. Look, I don't blame people for being like, damn it, like Sauce Gardner, he looks really good. I don't blame people for that at all. Right now, Sauce Gardner's clearly better. We get into this weird spot where sometimes we are, oh, let's wait and see. Like, when I said Patrick Mahomes was better than Deshaun Watson in 2018, people were like, oh, you need to wait and see. No, you don't. He's better. I'm still annoyed by that. I don't know why people got so sensitive about it. And by the way, like, in retrospect, who are you defending? Oh, you were defending Mr. Towel himself. Okay. Well, in this situation, you do have to give Derek Stingley a little bit more time. Especially considering he was dealing with injuries. Now, the injury side of thing, okay, that's a concern. I mean, we've dealt with a banged-up corner before. Remember Kevin Johnson, first-round pick, who was constantly hurt? Yeah, I mean, when there's an injury history, and I don't know if Johnson had the same injury history as Stingley, but Stingley sure did, you got to wonder, okay, what's going to happen here? And Kenyon Green showed flashes when he was run-blocking, but as a pass protector, he was awful. So, yeah, there's definitely reasons to second-guess those two picks. You got to hit your first-round picks for all of his faults. Rick Smith was able to hit on most of the Texans' first-round picks. But I do think you got to give him a little bit of breathing room. And that's why I wonder about some of the people that are against him. A lot of people who responded to the question that I threw out on Twitter, on Facebook too, they said they're in. I mean, the returns have not been disastrous. And it's been 2 years, and he had to deal with the fallout of Bill O'Brien. So I'm not saying that I'm necessarily in on Nick Caserio, that I'm a Nick Caserio guy, but I'm actually still willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for the remainder of this year. But this offseason is going to be big. He's going to have to find a way to make this team have competitive players. And he even acknowledged that in his press conference yesterday where he said, success for this team needs to happen soon. Nick Caserio one more time.
The clock is ticking. You know, time is short, but that's okay. Like, we live in a high pressure, we work in a high pressure environment. The expectations are high, and it's about performance. And if I don't do my job well enough, you know, in the end, and quite frankly, you probably think that I haven't done my job well enough at this point, and that's more than fair. At some point, you know, decisions will have to be made.
What that decision could be would be, you know, him being out. And I don't know who would come in as the next general manager, but you might have another weird, incorrectly stacked firings. You fire your head coach, then you fire the general manager the next year, then you're probably going to find some issues between the next general manager and the head coach that you hire this offseason, assuming you keep him. Like, this keeps the idea of instability going.
Well, you can just make your head coach also the GM. Boom. Problem solved.
No,
that always works.
No, you can't do that again. We're trying to get away from being Patriot South, right? Like, that is the big problem. That is what you can't do. I know you're being tongue-in-cheek there. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. I do think there should be a little more patience when it comes to Caserio. But I understand what Cal McDair was doing yesterday. And I want one more time for at least an acknowledgement that Cal is trying. Because I think he knows a lot of you want someone to be put on the hot seat. Because I think most people think Lovie Smith got railroaded. And to be perfectly honest, he kind of did. Was Lovie Smith going to be a great head coach for this team? Doubtful. But he did kind of get screwed over here. I mean, what was he supposed to do with that team? Other than go 3-2-1 in the AFC South, which he did. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues after this.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby. Stand,
hush. We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We will talk a little more NFL in just a moment. A rather boring Black Monday. As far as firings go, not that many. Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, really the only ones. The other firings at already been made. And Lovie Smith, of course, he was canned on Sunday night. But we'll get to some of those. Some indecision by one head coach, which includes a hilarious rationale for why he might be thinking about walking away. And the latest on Aaron Rodgers' future. But first, I do want to play something fun from yesterday. Yesterday was the day where the Texans clear out their lockers. Damian Pierce is precious. We need to protect Damian Pierce at all costs. He is a, I think, very warm, fun-loving person who has an incredible sense of optimism, especially based off of this answer about what went wrong over the course of the past year for the Houston Texans.
We were 2-3 plays away a game just from being in a different conversation right now, so it's minimal stuff that can be fixed, but like, it ain't nothing that can't happen. Like you said, the Jazz doing it, so why not us?
So he's crazy, but this is the kind of crazy you need in your locker room if you're going to turn things around. You need somebody to have relentless, borderline annoying optimism just to start with. Someone like Brandon Cooks, get the bleep out of here. We'll play Cooks audio later today, too. You need more guys like that who are naively unaware of how terrible the world is and how bad this situation is.
Yeah, like, whatever Texans team eventually does succeed, they won't be as filled as with as beaten down people as the fans are. The fans are, we're the most, like, bleep this. This is always going to, yeah. This sucks and will always suck. The guys have to believe.
They do. They really need to believe.
I mean, Joe Burrow wasn't like, I'm on the Bengals, so this probably won't end well.
No,
like,
Joe Burrow is saying, my window is my entire forever. Career for winning championships. Like, the epitome of confident badass. It sounds like a crazy person when you're doing it on a team that's not very good. But I will point to another smaller Houston athlete who back in 2014 said that this team is right around the corner from competing. Sean Mapes, can you guess who that person was? Because I remember this and I'll never forget it.
James Harden.
Jose Altuve.
Oh.
2014, Jose Altuve said, yeah, we're right. It's right in front of us. And I was like, you're out of your mind, but you're playing your ass off. And if you're playing your ass off and you have that kind of mentality, great. I still can't find the clip of that. I have looked when I've been bored for this clip for years. But I remember talking about it back when there was a CSN Houston in town. I remember vividly talking about this. The same exact kind of argument that I'm making right now. It's crazy to hear Pierce say that. You need guys like that. A couple of comments that I wanted to address on the text line and on Twitch from our last segment. I'm asking, hey, are you in or out on Nick Caserio? But a couple of interesting texts that relate and make me think of Hannah McNair sort of stepping in to the middle of the question that I asked Nick Caserio. Paul, what you mentioned with Hannah McNair, I love it. Seems like she doesn't BS and wants the team to be successful. Just a little shocked, Nick didn't let her answer. Nick didn't let her answer necessarily, but that's because, again, this was an awkward setup where Nick and Hannah were sitting in like the middle of a row in an auditorium while Nick Caserio was the one person standing up in front of a microphone. But I thought it was really interesting that Hannah stepped in there. It wasn't Cal. I think Hannah might have a more hands-on role in the day-to-day operations of this team than you might think because, hey, look, Cal McNair's the son of Bob McNair. I think Hannah's a part of this too. And for better or for worse, I don't know what any of them do behind the scenes, but this is a person who clearly has a lot of energy. And another text, I don't know if I can put any stock into this. Easterby had way more pull than we all think. It feels like he made the calls on Cully and Smith, says this theorist on the text line. Maybe Hannah finally got fed up and got him out of here. And now finally it's Caserio and the administration that will work together, not Caserio and Easterby. The idea of Hannah McNair perhaps having a little more say in that organization intrigues me. And again, Nick Caserio said in that answer that he gave to me, Cal and Hannah own the team. Just for what it's worth.
So she's the Cersei Lannister of the
Texans. I'm not saying that. Don't say that. No, don't put that. Don't, listen, Cersei Lannister.
She's taking control. She's getting all the religious people out. She's blowing up a church.
Well, to be fair, Cersei did join the cult before realizing that was the wrong thing to do. She totally screwed up.
Easterby.
Cersei totally screwed up. And also, I think Cersei Lannister comparisons, like, that's bad. I almost named my cat Cersei, and my mom's like, no, you're not. I'm not helping you get this cat, setting everything up with this cat if you name it Cersei. Not that bitch. Quote. Mom actually said that. I love you, Mom. Potty mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to swear. Why are you allowed to swear? Anyway, I don't want to make that implication. Around the NFL we go. So again, rather uneventful Black Monday. But we are trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Sean McVay, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. His status with the Rams next year is unclear. Here he is waffling, sitting on the fence. Not waffling. Here he is sitting on the fence at a press conference with the Rams yesterday.
Well, that it does affect that I don't take lightly and want to be mindful of. And so I'm going to take the next couple days to really be able to kind of reflect. Obviously, a lot of conversations with various people that will dictate and determine the decision that's best for me, my family, the Rams, and a lot of people, and that's kind of where we're at with that. You know, my wife, my parents, you know, and then I'll continue to lean on. I got so many, you know, fortunate people that I can lean on, Jordan, whether that be within the Rams organization or even the platform that this provides for people that are in similar situations, can have some perspective. But I feel very fortunate to have a great, you know, group of people in that inner circle to be able to help, you know, measure and weigh the different dynamics that are involved to ultimately make the best decision, you know, for a lot of people, but for myself and for our family.
In a season that has gone down the toilet rather rapidly for Los Angeles, Sean McVay should know what he wants to do right now. He was flirting with joining the broadcasting ranks last year. Apparently, he takes the stress of this job very hard, and this past season was very difficult for him. As I guess a reflection of him. It's lame, though, to hold the team hostage, especially as other teams are starting to look for their next head coach. And while the interview process, I don't think, can officially begin until tomorrow with the interviews requested that you are seeing out there, I think that McVay's got to just step down. And some of the reasons that have been given as to why Sean McVay might step down, I get that they're somewhat merited, but he's spoken repeatedly about the exhaustion and frustration of this difficult season. Dude, you're in your mid-30s. Lovie Smith was doing this, and he's in his mid-60s. Like, spare me with the age. Or spare me with being tired. You're a young man. You're my age. If you're in it to coach, you know what the drill is. Being compounded by the mental stresses of his grandfather's death. Okay. Worrying about his wife's family in Ukraine. That's a stretch, too.
Come on. If Putin didn't invade, no doubt he would still be the Rams coach. But because of Putin, the Rams have a long rebuild ahead of them.
This might be a factor in his day-to-day family life. But this being the determining factor in whether or not he continues coaching, I don't buy that for a second. I don't. Maybe that's insensitive of me, but I'm a little bit tired of people pointing to Putin and Ukraine as reasons why X, Y, and Z are happening in our day-to-day life. The idea that McVay is going to walk away because of how his wife's dealing with Ukraine. Sorry, I don't buy it.
Vlad Putin ruined the LA Rams. There, I said it.
Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Putin over here sabotaging the NFC West, writes Largobot. Yeah.
Yeah, he's. I think he's a 12, actually.
He's a 12. Putin has a 12. That would be really funny. Diehard Seahawks fan. Vladimir Putin, they would get so pissed off too.
Yeah. How do you say liberal Legion city. Of Boom?
Oh wait a second. The guy who was colluding with Trump, he's rooting for us now. We disavow. Hashtag Ukraine, and then they're all gonna change their like avatars to like Ukrainian flags and stuff. Yeah, man. Look, spare me with this side of it, Sean. Make up your bleeping mind, okay?
Thank you, Sean McVay.
Not you. Sorry,
I have
you've made
mind
up your mind.
Yeah.
Putin is colluding with the NFC West. What else do we have? This is a story about a general manager who is in hot water. His name is Chris Ballard. he should have been fired too. I don't know how he still has a job as general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. Here is what he had to say, I guess, at his press conference yesterday. And Sean, I'm glad you made me aware of this. Not Sean McVay, Sean Mapes behind the glass. We live in a world where failure's not allowed. When you fail in this world, you get canceled and everybody wants your head. And rightfully so in some cases. But if you're able to go through it and learn from it, you can reach your greatest heights. Well, when you fail in this world, Chris Ballard has not been canceled because he's failed in this world. How many veteran quarterbacks has he been able to take a swing at? I mean, they brought in Jeff Saturday, for God's sake. We're not going to act like Chris Ballard's not a part of that. I mean, Chris Ballard definitely had some input in as far as Jeff Saturday as the interim head coach. I know it's mostly Jim Crazy Pants Irsay, but it's definitely also Chris Ballard saying, yeah, okay.
But it's also the liberal woke mob cancel culture trying to get him out of here. He's getting canceled right in front of everyone, even though he still has a job.
I can't believe he's getting canceled. Poor Chris Ballard.
While still having his job. He is still not fired.
There are some elements of cancel culture that is real. And some of what Chris Ballard said is true here. But the idea of anyone working in the NFL organization, in an NFL organization, bringing up cancel culture as a shield is bleeping ridiculous.
Deshaun Watson hasn't been canceled.
I know. Right. That's what's funny about the word cancel culture. Very often, the people that we think are canceled actually aren't canceled. And I don't know. Maybe we need a rebrand of that word. One last one. Speaking of people who aren't being committal with their retirement, Aaron Rodgers has not officially retired with the Packers, though it did feel that way, just given the way that the Sunday Night Football broadcast ended Sunday night's Packers-Lions game. That game should have been about the Lions winning. Instead, all the cameras were focused on Aaron Rodgers at the end of the game. You got to wonder if there was something said, perhaps in the pre-production meetings leading up to that game. Here is Aaron Rodgers at his post-game press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to hold him hostage. I understand. We're still in January here. March is for agency, so just need some time to, like I said, get the emotion out of it and then figure out what's best.
Is the decision all yours, you think? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think there's got to be mutual on both sides.
Of course he throws it in at the last second because he always wants his ass kissed. Make up your mind, man. It's been 4 years. You're just as bad as Brett Favre.
That's what I was saying. It's so funny that he just turned into Brett Favre.
He is outside of fraud in Mississippi.
Well, Brett Favre got into that after his playing career.
True.
Maybe we should be happy Aaron Rodgers keeps deciding to play.
Okay, so after his playing career, that could be what Rodgers does next. Rodgers also has not sent pictures of his not as endowed a thing as you would expect to Jen Sturger. And by the way, we talk about cancel culture. Brett Favre did not get canceled for that. In fact, Jen Sturger got canceled for receiving a picture of Brett Favre's Brett Favre's not so flattering picture of himself. She got canceled for that. She got slut shamed for that. That was BS. That girl deserves reparations. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, I am in love with Kirby Smart. You will be in love with him, too, after you hear this.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Galancho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
What do you need to see from your team early, particularly as you start on defense right now?
Aggression.
That's it?
That's what we want to do. We're going to hunt tonight. We're going to do the best we can to hunt tonight.
I mean, if by hunting you mean doing what they did back in the 1800s to make the buffalo go extinct, yes, that's what Georgia did last night. I don't know how many people have read about that, where dudes would literally get in train cars and just pick off buffalo with a rifle while riding on a train. There used to be a lot of buffalo on the Great Plains, and sadly, they're all gone. That is what Georgia did to TCU. 65-7. And there was like a split second where you thought, all right, maybe TCU's got a chance. They have that bomb touchdown pass down the left sideline when they were down 10-0. But man, Georgia just thoroughly outclassed TCU all night long. And that's not surprising. But what I love the most about Kirby Smart is that this is a guy who knows how to get every single week consistency out of his players by doing the impossible. Obviously, Georgia has a lot of talent. But it takes a special skill to keep that talent in check, humble, dedicated, focused. We hadn't seen a team repeat as national champions in the college football playoff until what we just saw from Georgia and their back-to-back titles. And what Kirby Smart's done with that Georgia program has turned them into a program that right now I think is about an inch ahead of Alabama. And he's doing the same thing that we've seen from Nick Saban, and he's doing the same things that we've seen from Bill Belichick. He's saying things aloud that anyone on the outside can't possibly believe. Man, we weren't getting a lot of respect going into the season. You are number three, sir, after several players were drafted. But I don't mind that. I kind of like a coach that pushes this idea that nobody believes in his team. I remember this with the Patriots back in the day. Belichick was a master of it. There was a point in 2003... going into the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers, the Patriots had won, I think, 14 games in a row. Maybe even more than that. And after the game, Rodney Harrison said, nobody believed in us. You won 14 games in a row and had the best record in the NFL. Everyone believed in you. Again, you won 14 games in a row going into that Super Bowl. Somehow Georgia has figured out, and specifically Kirby Smart, how to have these guys at all times thinking that they need to show more. I mean, if you were watching the end of that blowout where poor Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit are trying to figure out what the hell to talk about. They're talking about Deion Sanders. What's next for TCU? I mean, they were going through the motions. At one point, one of the sideline reporters, I'm not sure if it was Holly Rowe or Molly McGrath, they come in as TCU scores 65 with like 10 minutes left and says, hey, you know, one of the things that Georgia has implemented this year is that they've added a psychologist into that locker room, and this psychologist helps keep them engaged and helps them buy into the idea that you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the game is over. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. I was looking for the clip. And I mean, they're up 65-7 and still going for it, as if there was any doubt at halftime of that game.
The halftime lead that they had, I think they were up 38-7. The 31-point lead that they had would have been the second biggest blowout in CFP history.
Yeah,
at halftime,
and that was at halftime.
And then ABC and ESPN cameras caught them or someone in Georgia's, like, in the tunnel as they're walking in, yelling, it's 0-0, it's 0-0. And you're like, oh, my God, this is going to be a murder?
This is awesome. Look, consistency is obviously the most difficult thing to get week to week in all of football. College football maybe a little bit less because there are vast talent discrepancies. Credit to TCU for getting there, but I think if you play that Michigan-TCU game over and over again, Michigan's probably winning it. I don't know if they're winning it convincingly, but Michigan's winning that game, I would say, 8 out of 10 times if you play that one again. TCU played their ass off to get there, but like they're not anywhere close to Alabama, to Georgia, to any of those teams talent-wise. Maybe they'll be there someday. I mean, they're having a great offseason. There are lots of transfers that are going over to Sonny Dykes and TCU, but this Georgia program, week to week, is so bleeping consistent. So consistent. I mean, honestly, what was Ohio State really the only game where you watched them this season and you're like, oh, that was close? I can't think of another one. I wasn't watching Georgia a whole lot. I just know I was jealous of how good Georgia was.
They had a close game, I think, at Mizzou.
That's it. For a while.
Yeah.
And then they pulled away.
In the fourth quarter, yeah. But they had a couple games where you could tell that they obviously, like, throttled down. Like, they beat Kentucky, I think, 21-0. And, like, they probably could have scored 40.
Yeah. This is the thing with Georgia. That, to them, is a failure. That is how you keep a ridiculously talented team that's, by the way, defending national champions with a bunch of college-age kids who don't realize that you don't win it every single year. They got those guys to stay humble and hungry. That is so hard to do. Even if you have all the talent in the world, to have all of those guys regularly believing that, yeah, it's not enough. Yeah, we're a team that still needs to prove who we are. That's so hard to do. And I hope the Texans can find someone like that. I know that they're not going to be able to pull Kirby Smart away from Georgia, but that's what you're looking for. Someone who has the ability to do that. And that is a rare, rare trait to have. You know, a lot of people try to copy it, but it's only believable from some. And by the way, imagine if you heard this heavily censored. And Sean, thank you so much for cleaning things up, this heavily censored Kirby Smart speech before last night's game.
Trust your preparation. Your ass is prepared for this for 365 days. I think about the in that locker room. Think about getting our opportunity. All the you went through this week to get ready for this game, now is when you pay the price. You go out there with energy, enthusiasm. Hey, guys, hey, nobody in this room should be cautious. Ain't nobody in this room should be nervous about shit. Go out here and their ass up. Don't think about scoreboard. Don't think about shit. You think about knocking the shit out of them. Did you hear what Box said on Monday? When I sat in that meeting, I wanted to go play right then. Tore your shit up out here. 2 years ago, your shit up. Goddamn pride and joy tells me you these guys up. You go play the right way. You play the right way. You knock their ass off. You stay off the ground. You tackle the man with the ball. The shit's easy. Look at the right shit. Punish their ass on offense and kick their ass on special teams, guys. It's about who the we are. I believe in you. Let's go.
I mean, what a legend. I don't really know what else to say there. I want to run through a wall. So I'm going to go run through a wall. Up next, who do you want to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans? The search has begun. Nick Caserio, Cal McNair, they told us last night about their involvement. Who do you want the next guy to be? Let's put together a wish list. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.